Ben Cooper, The Great Pumpkin, and A Dead Man's Party. It's Halloween Memories this week on Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. How is your fall? You know what? It's fall.
Autumn.
Okay.
Autumn. I don't like fall because fall's just stupid.
What the? It means the leaves are falling off the trees.
Yeah, and that's boring. What's the better word? Fall, like you tripped and hit, like slipped on a banana peel and you fell? Or okay. Is it like autumn, spelled with an N?
I do like autumnal. I do like that.
Autumnal. It's a great one.
I really do like autumnal.
That's actually a word that I used a lot last year because I had heard it for the first time and I was like, yeah, that's the stuff.
You know, like, here's an example. Here's what, I can't.
Okay, just
I want to.
Let's not then.
Here's an example. Your average white lady would say, I just love a PSL. It's so autumnal.
No, they would never say it. That's the thing.
They would say, it's so folly, is what they'd say. Ugh, gross.
They'd probably call it folic or something weird like that. And be like, ew. You better have a doctor look at that. It's like colic only.
You're the reason this country is in the state it's in.
Which is California. So last week I went to, because I know you're about to ask, so I just thought I'd
where'd you go last week?
Spare you having to say it. I went to formerly Marriott's Great America, now just called
Great America.
Billy's Great America.
Wait.
Chad's Great America.
Welcome to Chad's Great America.
First of all, I haven't been there since it was probably around 1980 was the last time I was at Great America.
Because I was going to say, I don't think it's been Marriott's Great America for probably more than 30 years.
No, it hasn't. And the weird thing is I only recognized two rides. Everything else was new to me. And so, but, you know, Megan and I went for the big Halloween haunt that they have there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, you know, 600 houses and like everything was decorated super cool and giant pumpkins everywhere. And like they went off on the decorations and the haunted houses were all super cool too. Like each one took place, you know, next to a big giant ride. And I was like, oh, it's just going to be a room with some, you know, teenagers running around with, like, clown masks scaring the shit out of you. And I was like,
hey, mister.
It was fucking cool. I know. Hey, mister, would you like to be scared? Here, let me take a picture with my iTelephone. Send him a text on the
You and the internet, teen community, really.
The internet machine. You know how the kids talk.
Really have a beef with the teen community.
I'll fax this to my friends. Everyone will see it. But I was totally blown away, like, the haunted houses were all super cool and they were super elaborate. And like a couple of them, I was like, does this thing ever end? It seemed like that was like, you know, like 10 rooms.
Were they gross?
Some of them were gross.
Oh, interesting.
With like blood and like, you know, gore. There was like a meat packing company. There was a wax museum. It had like Abraham Lincoln and like all these famous people in it, but they were all like zombified. And everything was lit really well with like super cool spooky music and like sound effects.
That's cool.
And then the teenage kids that worked there, you know, wearing the clown masks and scaring the shit out of you every time you rounded a corner. And I was like, you know.
But that's fun though, right? You like
it
that.
It was fun because Megan kept getting the shit scared out of her. And I was like, this isn't scary to me, but I am into it. And so I'm having a lot of fun. And
yes.
So I let them scare me. And I'm like, oh my God, that's scary. And I was like, no, it's not.
See, I'd just be afraid that I would be the person who would punch one of those kids in the face.
Well, yeah.
And then I'd have to go to court.
Yeah. But, you know, there was like this area where you walked through like this rows of buildings. And in the middle of the row, it was all fog from the smoke machine. And then the scary people that come out and scare you. But like, you know, a girl in like a torn up wedding dress, like walking by with her, you know, her eyes staring straight ahead and like suddenly looks at you and you're like, ah, fuck, you know, like,
yeah.
And it was just cool. And then these kids had like knee pads on, like rollerblade knee pads, and these gloves that had like metal tips on them, and they'd like clink on the ground really hard with these metal gloves, and it would like, it was startling. It was really startling. And
but well done.
And they would
fun.
Like run and like skid across the floor on their knees, like skid across the street on their knees, and you'd be like, damn. Anyway, it was a great time, and we got to go on a bunch of rides, and I was very brave once again because I get scared on rides. And but it was great. It was so much fun, and it was relatively affordable for everything you got.
Yeah.
It was like $40 to do every ride and to go into every haunted house.
It was fun.
And it was like a great deal, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
So.
And you guys were there for a long time.
Yeah, we were there for like 5 hours. We closed the place down, and then we snuck on one more ride after they closed.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I went to a show. I went to see St. Lucia, the band St. Lucia,
yeah,
which are great. And I've played for you before and you've liked. And man, what a great live band.
Really?
So
and
good.
Where are they from?
From Britain. Okay. And they're, you know, like an electronic band. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's really hard. They're very 80s. They have a very 80s aesthetic, mm-hmm, of the music. So it's very hard sometimes for a electronic band, really, mm-hmm, based on keyboards,
yeah,
and mixers,
samplers
and stuff, yeah, to be a live band, but mm-hmm, it was a great show.
Cool.
It was a great show. And my knee has been bothering me quite a bit, and it's hard to walk, but it's starting to feel a little better. But so I'm using a cane. So when we walked into this, we're so lucky to be here in San Francisco. There's so many cool music venues,
yeah,
just in the middle of the city. And so we went to a really great place called August Hall, and it was super beautiful and cool, but just one of those standing room only venues, mm-hmm, right? So it's just standing room. And I knew that my knee was going to be sore, and I walked in, and the woman goes, you know, I have seating for you.
I thought you were going to say painkillers.
Exactly. I was like, well, I don't know if you should go. Okay. So we go upstairs to the balcony where it's all standing once again. And there's four chairs that are roped off.
Didn't I see a show at August Hall recently? No.
No, you went to the Great American Music Hall to see
another band.
Mm-hmm.
Cold Cave.
Cold Cave. But so there were four chairs just quadrant off with, you know, velvet rope or whatever. And sat there the whole night, right there in the balcony. Nice. Had the best.
I prefer to sit down at shows these days, unless I'm dancing or something. But like
me too, and I would have loved to have like grooved, mm-hmm, to that, and I did in my chair. Mm-hmm. But it was so fun. I haven't been to a live show in so long. I think it was probably you and me like 2 years ago on our Valentine's, on our Palentine's date.
Well, there was a show that you saw in between. We went to see Horton Heat that night too. That was the last show.
Oh, we went to go see Horton Heat last year.
That was the last one.
I saw Tegan and Sarah. Yeah, I see a lot.
Yeah, okay. It's been, you know, I went.
That Horton Heat show was fun.
That was great. Remember in Fishbone?
That was a great, the famous Fillmore in San Francisco.
And he has a new album out this month, so.
Yeah, that was fun.
Horton Heat, I'm sure it's killer.
I mean, we got into the car and we were like, it is 2 o'clock in the morning. We need to be, it is like a Monday. But it was so fun.
Speaking of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of not fun.
What?
My girlfriend is on her way to Paris right now.
I know.
And I am enraged. I am enraged.
You're a real, like, really great boyfriend, and you're a real schmoopster. You're a real, like, what am I going to do without her? She's going to have so much fun.
She's going to have a great time. I've already been twice, so
yes.
I'm cutting her some slack.
What, has she ever been?
She's never left the United States.
She's going to be,
including Canada.
Wonderful.
And
she's
Mexico.
She's going to have so much fun.
Yeah, she's going to have a great time.
Good for her.
Yeah, so in Paris is amazing. I've been there twice, and I've been through Europe and all through France, and I just am very excited for her to go and
yes.
to experience the stuff, and for her to expand her world and her horizons, and to see how big the world really is. And I'm very excited that she left me here to rot and die.
Yeah, for 9 days. Calm it down. You just tamp it down, and you're fucking fine.
10 days, but who's counting?
Okay, all right. We'll get you through. Oh boy, imagine
that's
recording.
That's okay, I'm going to Disneyland without her. That's not true.
Imagine
Gonna go to Disneyland Paris.
Is she?
And we've been talking about the Phantom Manor ride, the Haunted Mansion ride there, and how excited she is. And we've been looking into the history and the creation and the build and how the story behind it. And then today I was watching my favorite Disney YouTube blog by Offhand Disney, and he's like, oh, and by the way, it's closed right now until January. And I'm like, oh, no. So I called her to let her know because I didn't want her to get there and be disappointed. Also, I wanted to ruin her trip.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Imagine what you're going to be next week when you record. 3 more days.
Dear diary.
Dear diary, as I sit here in the Bay Area of California, in these United States.
Limbs rotting beneath the loam.
What?
I was just going to interrupt you every time you spoke.
So... today's Jean-Claude Van Damme's birthday. I've been really wanting for the last few months to be like, you know, we should talk about like things that happened this, you know, in today, things that happened today in 1980 something.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
And so, I've been kind of just looking and kind of researching, and then I thought, oh, well, we should put like on our social media accounts, people's birthday. So we're going to start off our wishing people a happy birthday with JCVD. Happy birthday, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Thank you very much.
Hey, welcome.
I am glad to be here.
Your face has not held up the way that you would wish.
I have been punched several times.
Yes, that's the thing. Well, you know, so it's Jean-Claude Van Damme's birthday today, and he has a series on Amazon Prime, the Amazon original, called Jean-Claude Van Johnson. And it's about him like living in some like little town pretending to just be a regular dude.
That is a show that we should be on.
And it's apparently people love it. It's like it's a scripted half hour. I bet it's fun. Him like, you know, making fun of himself or what, you know, I bet it's fun. So, and then also today, 29 years ago today on the 18th, was the Loma Prieta earthquake here in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So our friend Sean posted that today on his Instagram. And it's just an important thing to remember.
It is.
That was, I was 29 years ago when that happened, I was about to move to the Bay Area. It was, so it happened today, October 18th, and I was moving January 3rd.
Whoa.
And it was like, I remember like the World Series was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember then getting the news of that and my mother saying, nope.
I'm sure.
Nope, no. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
And you were
here. I was here. It was scary. I was in Santa Cruz.
Yep.
And
which was hit hard.
It was hit very hard. And yeah, it was very terrifying because the telephone poles were, they looked like giant toothpicks. They looked like, you know, palm trees. They were just like, like swinging back and forth. And you're just like, whoa. I didn't realize something that big could just like swing like that. I don't know. It just came out. This is a terrifying episode, by the way. I'm scared. I'm very scared.
Because you're off the fucking rails. Well, we did want to mention that the Loma Prieta earthquake 29 years ago. Isn't that weird to think?
That's... are you out of your Vulcan mind?
I know.
That is crazy. Like, what?
I know. So.
So 29 years from now, I'll be almost 80. I'll be like 78 years old.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about that?
Why'd you even say that?
So.
Why'd you put that thought in my head?
So I said that our friend Sean put that on his Instagram today. And so you're going to DJ his wedding this weekend.
I'm DJing his wedding on Sunday. Yep.
Yeah. I had a little correspondence with him on Instagram.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. And I get to see a bunch of friends, and that'll help with my loneliness of Megan being in France and having a great time. I'll be like, oh yeah, well, I'm at the wedding.
I got your loneliness right here, sister.
This fucking party is the bomb. Like,
oh yeah. Yes. In order to stay current, I think you should say the bomb a lot.
But I'm really looking forward to it. Sean's a good friend and a fellow historian and cool, interesting dude. So, and his fiance, Laura, is also an interesting and phenomenal, fantastic human being. And so I'm very happy for them. And so congratulations, guys. I'll see you on Sunday.
Be so fun. Yeah. So this week we're talking about Halloween. Your soundboard came in.
That's the sounds of a haunted house.
Yeah, well,
Tom LG.
I got. You're doing a little curtsy. Oh, so dainty. So, Halloween. You know, we started this podcast like right after Thanksgiving last year. Mm-hmm. So this is our first Halloween, and
we're approaching a year on this.
Yeah,
fucking thing.
November 24th is when we put out the first episode.
I just looked today.
You didn't.
I was like, when was the first one?
Yeah. So
there we go.
Oh, the skulls again. Well, once
you hit the skulls, I'll hit the lamp behind me.
So we will say that we talked last week that your Halloween decorations are up, but you're super into Halloween.
Super, super into
as an adult person. Yeah. And I'm not really. Like, I decorate for fall. Mm-hmm. And then there's
For autumn.
For I decorate in an autumnal manner. So as far as like dressing up goes, I don't dress up, and everyone loves to. And Brendan really wants to dress up all the time, or not all the time. He wants to go out on Halloween, and I'm like, I don't. That sounds real bad. You know, I think
maybe
go
out on Halloween once in a while.
Well, I think, and then I brought up, maybe we'll go. Maybe Tom's DJing this year. Are you DJing this year?
I'm not.
Oh, that's you always.
I took the day off because there was a not set in stone plan or thought to go to New Orleans for Halloween this year with Megan, and so I took the day off. But we're not going to do that because she's going to France instead.
Jesus, so
thanks for ruining my Halloween.
She's going to be back before that.
She's going to be back in like a week and a half. I'm just kidding.
Jeez. So, but as a kid, I was. We didn't really decorate. I think, Mom, I think we had those.
I mean, you lived on a scary farm.
We lived on a scary farm far away from town. So that always like, and I was just saying, I wish I remember. I remember everything about everything. I pull out whenever we talk. I'm like, remember when you blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I know.
And I remember days and all that stuff. I can barely remember my Halloween costumes.
I tried in vain. I remembered like three, and two of them, I don't even think they were in the 80s. I think one was in the 70s. And I was like, what was I for Halloween all the time?
Well, Halloween for me was a thing where obviously we didn't go trick-or-treating out in the country. So we would go into our little town and you would trick-or-treat there. But I was always alone, maybe up until the last 2 years. One of my parents was with me, or my sisters, but I didn't go like in a group, which I think is just maybe more TV and movies. And
I went in groups.
Did you?
Yeah.
And then we would have to drive in, and then you would kind of walk a block. You know, you'd walk around, and your parents would kind of follow you in the car. They weren't there because someone was going to take you. Like, we were in a tiny little town.
Yeah.
And it was always kind of a crapshoot for us up in North Dakota because it may be freezing. It may be like a rain or a freezing rain, or it may be snow. So I will tell you.
Either way, it's going to be.
I will tell you it's a little bit extremely extreme autumnalness. I think it was like.
Autumnal extreme.
I think it was like 78. Or 79 when I wore this particular costume, and I think maybe that's why I can't remember costumes, is because I was so upset. All I wanted was to be Gene Simmons. I wanted to be Gene Simmons from Kiss. That's what I wanted. And I wanted the costume. And the costumes that I do remember that we did buy every year were Ben Cooper costumes. That's the name of the company. And that's all they made was this particular type in it. And you all know it. It came in a box. It was a literally like a plastic, the thinnest plastic that you could ever imagine, smock. Sometimes it was like a one-size-fits-all jumpsuit.
We'll call it a hefty bag.
But yes, but more so it was like a smock that just had the little tiny ties.
Do you remember? Made out of the same material.
Yes, made out of the same material, and it would tie on the back of your arms and then like a few places going down your back and on your neck. So it was, you know, kind of tight, and it would say, Kiss! Like in there.
Or have a big hairy chest covered in blood.
Yes, or something like that. And it would, and it said, it was like black with white writing, and it was their Kiss logo. You know, like
I'm sure we can find a picture of it.
Oh, I did. Oh,
okay.
I'm going to put them up. Yeah. And then the plastic mask with the tongue coming out. And it had, now I remember it having that the, you know, his particular long hair up in the little top knot as being like part of the mask. Like it was all that plastic.
Probably was, yeah.
But then I looked it up today and it's all like fake puffy hair.
Huh.
So maybe it was, and I just, but I was so excited, and it was just like, you know, the buildup of it, and you're going to do this, and I'm going to wear black pants, and oh my God, I'm going to be, I'm him, and you know, and you're so excited, and it snows.
That's the saddest thing.
Oh, and so I had to wear moon boots, which are kind of Kiss-like.
Yeah, if you painted fangs on them, but...
Yeah, and then they were also like, you know, blue and silver. You know, they didn't have anything to do with Kiss. And then I had to wear a big old parka with a hood. A red parka with a hood over it. And then like the fake furry thing around the hood.
You only get one Halloween a year. You can't be like, tomorrow, we'll try again tomorrow.
It was like okay. Trick or treat.
Trick,
I
apparently.
Hate you.
I hate everyone.
But so I remembered and I looked it up and then I found and I looked at the box and it said Ben Cooper on it. And I was like, oh my God, that's, they made all of this stuff. And so it's so interesting. So it was founded in 1937 and it went completely away and under in 1991.
Wow.
So that's quite a run. And so, you know, it was called Ben Cooper Inc. and it ruled the costume world.
I have two of them up there on the wall. The old school ones from the 60s.
That are their creation, right?
Yeah. Devil, those devil ones.
Oh my God. Yeah. So they had licensed, they had all this stuff that was licensed. So the Kiss logo was the Kiss logo because it was licensed. And then, you know, there was a picture of the band on the cover of the box. And then it had a plasticine area where you could see in and see the mask. And so they had all of these licenses. And then they also, and so it was a mask and a costume set, like I said, with the little plastic smock thing. And they also had original designs as well. And, people love them. When you bring them up, like, people are like, oh my God, that was like my go-to. Like,
well, they're super collectible now.
Now they're very collectible. They're going for tens of thousands of dollars for like mint.
For the really cool ones.
And there's a lot of, especially the ones that they designed, that there was like a small run and it didn't go. And it didn't really sell that one Halloween because they were known to like put out maybe like 100 of one.
Oh.
And see if those 100 went in a certain amount of time or when, you know, when they were ordered or, and then they would make them for the next year. So that's what people are really after because there's not many.
Well, they're so rare, you know. I mean, I've been searching flea markets and yard sales and thrift stores my whole life. Those two masks on the wall are the only two I've ever found out in the wild, with the exception of one box that I found, a costume that was still in the box with the cardboard and the plastic window that you could see into it with the smock and the mask. And now I'm sitting here banging my head against the wall trying to remember what it was. It was a superhero. It may have been Superman or Spider-Man or something like that. It was like a knockoff. It wasn't one of
theirs. Ben Cooper, yeah.
It was like a knockoff. I ended up selling it for like $30, but I wish I kept it now.
Well, they had Dracula and Frankenstein,
yeah,
and science fiction characters. And so it was like Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. Planet of the Apes was very popular.
And then in 1977, right, like they were in it from the very beginning because Star Wars came out in like May. And for that Halloween, they made Star Wars costumes.
Brilliant.
I sent you the Yoda one. So it's a Yoda mask. And then on the green plastic thing that you put on, it says Yoda. What it says. That's all it was, right?
That was for people who didn't know. They're like, Yoda. Who is this little guy? Who is this little elf?
Bad. And so then they had Marvel and DC superheroes. So I did see Doctor Strange. And that's cool. One of the collectible ones because they didn't make many.
Oh.
Because I had never heard of Doctor Strange until you showed me the comics right before the movie came out.
Uh-huh.
So it's interesting that in like 1972, they put out a Doctor Strange. And they had some television ones as well, including Elf. But the one that I love the most is Henry Winkler. So they did the Fonz.
The Fonz one, yeah.
And it's interesting.
Now,
rendition of his face. It's very autumnal.
In regards to these masks and these particular costumes, I'm sure it goes back centuries, but the idea of the mask, right? And like what a mask does when a person puts a mask on and how they feel when you have a mask and you're looking at someone. But I always had this weird, and I still to this day, like I can think about what it looked like to see someone, to walk up to someone like at school or out on the street, and to see that person and to try to figure out who they are. But the way that their eyes blink,
mm-hmm,
behind this, you know, just looking at and how it looked with this sort of mannequin looking straight face that doesn't move, that only covers part of the face. But like when the eyes would blink, it always kind of freaked me out a little bit. And you'd be like, you know, like, Scott, is that you? And he would just sit there and look at you. And he'd be like, is that you? And he'd be like, I don't know, is that you?
Oh.
And he'd be like, ah. And then you'd lift the mask up and you'd go, oh, my God, it is. But there's something really eerie about the way that people look when they're wearing masks and they look out at you.
And especially that particular plastic mask,
yes,
is so freaky. And then, but do you remember what it felt like to have it? Right, I'm putting, like,
yeah,
this is good podcasting.
Yeah.
But it, you know, you had it right you had it right on your mouth.
They had a teeny tiny little mouth hole.
And it got real hot.
And wet.
Ew.
Also, the plastic costumes would be, well, it was usually warm in Santa Cruz.
And it was usually cold where I was. And like you had an underlay, you had like a sweater on or whatever anyway. Well, so in the 80s, Ben Cooper Inc. suffered a huge financial setback and they just never were able to get back from it.
Mm.
So I talked about it in a previous episode about scandals, I think, but it was the Tylenol scare.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, potassium cyanide scare in which 7 people died in Chicago from Tylenol that had been tampered with and laced with the drug in September of 1982. Right when everyone is starting to buy everything, no one did. I remember like the scare,
mm-hmm,
and you know, you were not going to allow your children, even though it was just centralized right there in the Chicago area, you were not going to let your children go to strangers' homes and you were not going to allow them to get.
Yeah. I don't remember
to get candy.
If we did that year.
And I don't remember either. I think maybe I can't remember, but. So, you know, a lot of people didn't want their children to celebrate Halloween in that manner, right? So sales plummeted, and it took several years to recover, but the damage had been done, so they couldn't get out of it. And it would just imagine how you, if you missed 75% of your business in a year that would happen on a small window of time. And that's what you do?
Yeah.
And 1 year, 75% of your business didn't happen?
Wow.
That fucks some shit up. So they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1988. And then the facility burned to the ground in 1989, resulting in the loss of between $2 to $3 million.
Well, that's what I'm thinking too.
So they went through legal battles with their insurance companies and then emerged from the bankruptcy.
Interesting.
Interesting.
That's horrible that a fire happened, though.
Then they had to file again. And in 1990, they sold it to a company. And then that company dissolved.
Chad's Masks.
Chad's Masks dissolved everything. But, you know, it brings about an interesting to think about that scare and what forced them basically, you know, 6 years later to not have a company anymore. Yeah. Also at that time, or before that, starting in 1966, was the first report of a razor blade in candy.
Yeah.
And so none of it, you know, I snoped it. Mm-hmm. And so like a dude in 2012 put pins in candy. But before that, no one has ever really found anything.
I mean, thinking about that right now, I want to screech in pain because it's more horrific than like anything. Like I'd rather get attacked and left for dead by a freaking great white shark than bite into a candy bar that had a straight pin in it. Now just the thought of it just kills me. But I remember that being a scare. Oh, people put razor blades in apples, and I'm like,
and so then that's what started the craze of like and people. It was a big thing on TV and you know, but in the news where kids in Chicago tonight are standing in line as they go and get their candy x-rayed at Chicago Medical Center.
And here's the thing. If somebody sticks a razor blade in your apple, you're going to see where it went in. You're going to look at that and you're going to go, I'm not going to eat that apple. Also, no one gives out fucking apples on Halloween.
I'm not going to eat that. Well, we had a few of the older folks in our little tiny town who gave out apples.
I may have had one or two apples that bounced out of my hand and went through their window when we left.
Were you a bad kid? At Halloween time? Because you're a real sweet angel kid.
No, I wasn't. No, I loved Halloween. I was super into it. I loved trick-or-treating, and I loved being in the street at night. I loved, you know, having all the people's houses decorated with, you know, skulls and skeletons and spooky pumpkins and weird music and cool lights. I've always loved that. I've always loved it. So I'm, you know, I was on the bus the other day and I was it was at night and I was looking at all the houses as I was driving or as the bus was driving. And I was like, wow, there's so many cool decorations this year in people's yards. And my sister goes off. Like she goes off more than anyone I know personally. And she has an entire garage full of Halloween stuff.
Oh, you mean
goes
off as putting Halloween decorations
up? Yes.
My sister goes off. She's just screaming at people.
Well, she does.
She does like production numbers. Like there's like wallpaper and like all this
shit. She's really stepped it up this year because they have a lot of space and she got some stuff for free. She got these cages, these like cages that just collapse down, but when you lift them up they look like steel and cables, but they're actually just like rubber and plastic.
Oh neat.
So they look like these real things, and she's like, I got these for free, someone was giving away, so I grabbed them. And I was like, oh my god, those are so cool, like big enough to put like a skeleton in one. And
neat. Anyhow, she loves that stuff.
But you know, for us, you know, I grew up on the private road, and there wasn't any, people didn't trick or treat on our road because there was probably less than 20 families on our whole street. And so people didn't do trick-or-treating there. But we went into Scotts Valley proper to go trick-or-treating. And later on in high school, I would go and into Santa Cruz and go trick-or-treating. But really what we would do is we'd go down to Graceway and Navarro Road on the outskirts of our part of town, which was basically like in the mountains, and we'd come down the mountain and then there were these little neighborhoods. And so that's where we did a lot of our trick-or-treating because a lot of the kids that we went to school with were there. And so we would go in these groups.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, you know, five or six kids, and Sometimes the parents would all be with us, and the parents would be walking along, talking while the kids were running around being crazy. And I remember for us, it was always a pillowcase that we used for for our candy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And some kid had like trick-or-treating bags, and some kids had the pumpkin heads, you know, the classic pumpkin head with the black handle.
Yep.
And ours was always pillowcases.
Me too. Oh my God. I never would have thought about that. Just like every, just one of those like whoosh just happened. Whoa.
But, you know, I experienced the same thing trying to remember what my costumes were. And I'm upset at myself for not remembering, because we were not allowed to have the cool Ben Cooper costumes. We weren't allowed to have the plastic costumes because my mom just said those are stupid. And my mom was very handy with the sewing machine, and she would make stuff for us. And I'd be like, well, that handmade buckskin, you know, Indian costume that you made for me is really cool, but gee, I sure wish I was, you know, Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader or something. Like, shit.
Even fucking C-3PO.
Cool. Yeah. But one year, it was 1978. I think it was the following Halloween after Star Wars came out. I was Luke Skywalker. And I think you've seen the picture before. I'm wearing...
Oh, yeah. I have.
Ooh, one of those, like, 70s disco... Yeah. One of those 70s disco print, you know, polyester shirts with like a white wrapped, you know, top over it, a tunic with like, I think I had white jeans tucked into my white socks to look like the wraps on Luke's legs for his cool boots. But they were actually just tucked in. My pants were just tucked into my socks.
And so were they were they a good, like a bell bottom?
They may have been like a bell bottom, but it didn't matter. They were tucked into the socks, and so they were just all bunched up, you know, with like the stripes on the socks.
Oh, no.
But, you know, couldn't have a lightsaber, couldn't have a blaster. But I had, you know, my bowl cut and everything. And my sister was Princess Leia that year, and my mom did her hair for real.
Oh,
in the buns. In the cool buns. It wasn't a wig or a mask. It was like the real buns that my mom did for my sister. And that was really cool. And I may have told this story before. I have a feeling I may have, but
it's fine. It's what happens.
We were driving down Graceway on our way back. My parents picked us up on our way back from trick or treating with our friends in Scotts Valley, and we were driving along in our big giant Ford Econoline 350 in pea green. And I looked on the side of the road, and there was another Luke, and he had a lightsaber, and he was dressed really cool. And I was like, roll the window down. Stop the car. And my mom's like, what? I'm like, I remember that we didn't wear seatbelts. We were like standing up in the van.
No.
I was like, roll the window down. And my mom rolled the window down. I'm like, hey, Luke, may the force be with you. And he turns around. He looks. He goes, shut up. And I was all, okay, roll the window back up. Let's go.
Oh, no. Poor little Tom.
That was not a real Star Wars fan, that kid. And I'm almost as enraged at him all of these years later as my girlfriend going to Paris without me. I will forever be bitter at that kid. And you know what? That kid is not a Star Wars fan. The proper response is, thanks, you too, buddy.
There's probably some asshole in a bad marriage now, so you won.
Fucking asshole. I watched a special today on the making of the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, you did?
We're going to need to see that again.
The Star Wars holiday special?
We're going to need to see it because it is some of the weirdest fucking unbelievably... We even did mentioned it in our Christmas episode last year.
We did.
It is 10 times more bizarre and strange than I ever remembered.
Well, we will revisit it in our holiday episode, The Revenge.
Ooh. But the good news is, you know, that we always had cool costumes. Evidently.
Oh, yes.
Evidently.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like... I really cannot remember. I'm sure there's many that we just threw together at home.
Yeah.
But see, when I... so I want to say I was probably... I think I was 12 or 13, but I was... you know, there's that kind of rite of passage where you don't trick-or-treat anymore.
Yeah.
And I want to say I was more like 13 or 14, actually, because I think I was. And so... For some reason, I was hanging out with a younger set of kids on that Halloween, and I ended up at one of the boys' houses, and his older sister, who was just a year older than I was, had a bunch of people over. And she's like, oh, come downstairs with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I kind of like ditched the little brother, but he had friends. They were fun. And so I was downstairs, and it was the first time that I had really seen like a scary movie.
Oh.
And it was Halloween. And it was all of the cool kids.
Mm, yeah.
All of the cool kids who were, you know, 1, 2, or 3 years older than I was. And it was the cool ones. Like, these are the people that everyone wanted to hang out with. And I was in it. And I was like, all right, Hedlund, like, you know, keep this shit legit, right? Like, like this, I was fine. Like, I was very... I never had a problem in school. I was fine. I was popular-ish and ish. And I was just like so freaked out, and the movie was freaking me out. And I was like, I'm just gonna use the restroom. Just gonna go to the bathroom. I don't think I said restroom. And so I went upstairs, and this is the part that I remember of the night. I went upstairs, and the father, his name was Frank, and he also was the head of our little tiny bank in our little town, Frank from the bank. And he was very well respected.
Hanging out with Hank.
Yep, hanging out. Well, I was Henry then. Mm-hmm. But he was very respected. And, you know, everyone, he was a very nice guy. And they lived in a nice house right down from the bank. And for some reason, I sat in there with a couple other kids and him, and I was sitting on the floor, and I looked, and this is the only part I really remember clearly. I looked, they had like a coffee table that had the top, and then it had a shelf on the bottom as well, and they had magazines and things, and it was an issue of Playboy. And in my head, I can remember what it looks like, and it was a beautiful woman, and she was laying on her stomach, and you just saw from like right below the breast up, that's where she was in the frame, and her hair was down, beautiful redhead, and there was a bottle of nail polish that was spilled next to her. And so today I looked it up, and it is the exact memory of what I have of it. God. Is what it is.
Oh my God.
I typed in Playboy cover 80s nail polish redhead. And again, and it took me a couple of tries, but I found it.
Wow.
But that's what I remember. And I was like, oh, whoa. And her whole face has never left my mind.
Wow, what an impression.
And so that's what I remember from that party. But I don't think we went trick-or-treating. I firmly remember hanging out with my friend Chad. Or Chad. I don't know why I said Chad.
Chad.
Hanging out with my friend Chad, and we...
Not related to the Chad I've been referencing.
No.
Which is a made-up Chad.
This is the North Dakota Chads, and he's real. So we were hanging out, and I was what was called then, we cannot say it now, but it's a word that you don't use now, but I was a hobo. Mm-hmm. Or a homeless person, but in that cartoony 80s way that was very inappropriate then still, but it wasn't looked at that way. So I just had like on my dad's big clothes, I think that, and that was, we were like 12 or 13, and that was the last time that I trick-or-treated, and we shouldn't have. Like we were, I mean, sometimes there was like the 16-year-olds went, and we're like, we're just getting candy.
Yeah, right. But that's like, what I would do later on, like in high school. We would go to Santa Cruz, and I don't ever remember dressing up for that. We would go to Santa Cruz, and we would just like ride our skateboards and like look for girls and like be cool and like...
So California.
I remember people would smash pumpkins, and I'd be like, don't do that. Don't do that. Because we always did pumpkins at our house. Always. Mm. And that was, you know, even though we didn't have trick-or-treaters, like we always did pumpkins. And my dad, I remember... My dad was very fond of making a count pumpkin. The count from
Sesame Street. Oh,
and that
fun.
Was one of his favorites. He always loved the Dracula and Bela Lugosi, and so that was his thing. And he would do that one every year with the little monocle and like the cool pointy
that's
nose.
That's so.
And, like,
do you, yeah, does he have awesome. A picture of that?
It may.
I
he
bet
may.
He does
somewhere. But that one year, cool. Like my mom made me like a fake buckskin. I was like a Native American, you know, a little scout. You know, I had like a bow and arrow and like...
That was a big thing then.
And that was really cool. And that costume later got repurposed as a French trapper costume. And so I had like the beret and like my dad painted a mustache on me and I had like, like a leather bag and moccasins, but I was a French trapper now. And one year, you know, I was, my dad had this long black cape. I still have it. He got it when I was a little kid at Halloween time. And it was a long black cloak that tied in the front with a big giant oversized hood. Very Darth Vader, very Sith, very...
That's cool.
Everything.
Have I seen that?
No, I it's in a box. I'm looking for it. I've been looking for it for 2 weeks now. Anyhow, and he had this World War II French Army helmet that he wanted to wear. And so he wore the French Army helmet and like these black boots with like this long capey overcoat thing and his pea coat probably underneath that. And my dad liked getting dressed up for Halloween too, you know. I remember my mom dressed up as a hippie one year, even though she was a hippie. I think my sister was a hippie one year, and I think she was like maybe a genie one year. But I don't know why I don't remember these costumes at all. It's like I remember the most random stuff from my childhood, and I'm like, I have no idea what I was.
My mom, when I was a teenager, my mom had a very best friend, and her name was Dawn, and she's been gone for a very long time, but Dawn Kessler, and she was really creative, and she was super cool, and so Mom and Dawn would make these costumes, because Mom worked at Piggly Wiggly, so they would make costumes for Halloween and for the other days that they had, right? And so one year they made Mom this huge thing, and it had suspenders and a big... all this poster board around her, and they crinkled it up, and then they made out of pieces of cotton, they made popcorn, so she was a bag of popcorn. Like super cute, and like they really like went all out and spent days and days on these projects. But I just remember how much fun she had. Oh God, that just popped into my... there's been a lot of whoosh moments during this one.
I remember two costumes of other kids really well. My friend Scott, who lived about a mile from us in the woods, but down a different street. And he had a Chewbacca costume, but like his mom made it. And it wasn't the store-bought Chewbacca costume. The thing was like freaking fur with like a fur mask that she like, you know, made somehow. And you knew he was Chewbacca. He had the bandolier going across his shoulder, and then he had like a, you know, a Star Wars blaster thing. And I was like, God, that's like really freaking cool. But some of the kids, you know, in the neighborhood were also like us, are kind of poor kids, and a lot of kids made their own costumes. And I remember my friend Brian, he made his own C-3PO costume, but like out of cardboard boxes. And so instead of it looking like, you know, C-3PO, it was...
he's rounded.
It was square rectangle boxes that he spray painted gold. Oh. And it was clever, you know, very clever with, you know, the head and everything. None of it looked at all like C-3PO in any way, except that it was gold.
But it was like a Minecraft version of C-3PO.
Exactly. But what I remember for some reason specifically all of these years later was that on the front in Sharpie, he had written the name of the droid, except he spelled it wrong, and he spelled it CP3O instead of C3PO. And so it was CP3O. And for some reason, it just, I'll never forget that.
Sounds awesome, though.
And someone pointed it out to him, and he was all, you could just tell he was all, shit.
You said that you, people gave out apples, and there were older people in our town that gave out apples. And then there was a lady who, her name was Sonia. Another, like, her name was Sonia, older lady, and she lived near us in the country. And we would always stop by her house because a bunch of the older people, even in the country, they had stuff ready for the kids. Uh-huh. So the country kids would go to those places. So every year we would go there. Oh, God. It's like, it makes me cry. But she had, she would make popcorn balls.
Oh, I love those.
And would color them.
Mm-hmm.
And then would wrap them in the cellophane with like red, I'm sorry, orange or black or purple, the fuzzy
hair tie stuff.
No, the pipe cleaners.
Oh, pipe.
She would tie them, and then she would like curl the ends of the pipe cleaners.
God, toys of the 70s. Here, kids, have some pipe cleaners. Make a fucking giraffe. Like,
but you know what?
Shit.
People still love pipe cleaners.
They still make them. I know.
So yeah, she would give those out, and she was just so wonderful. I mean, she passed away when I was little. I was like 10, probably. But that's just a. I do have a few years of memories of always ending the night at her house.
Yeah.
And she was always so, you know, like, treated me so special.
Aww. You know, I do have a memory of one of my first costumes, but only because I remember seeing a photograph. And I remember the night. You know, I was probably like, 4 or 5 years old. And it was a Godzilla costume. Well, it was a dinosaur costume, technically, but my parents said it was Godzilla. Okay. So I was super into Godzilla. And I was okay. Like, all right, it's Godzilla.
I'll buy it.
But it was like, you know, all fur, and it had like, I mean, I'm sure in some fetish circles it would be a highly sought after item.
It probably
was and is. But I do remember that, and I remember trick-or-treating in San Francisco where my grandparents lived. That's all I remember about that night.
Done and done. Yeah, I remember going and trick-or-treating, and I was such a freaking TV kid, though. It was like, when we were little, movies of the week, like every single night on TV, there was a movie that was made specifically for TV, and they were big events. And so I remember one Halloween, I was like, I wanted to get home and watch this movie. I didn't want to be out. I'm trying to just kind of like really think of what some of the costumes were. It's driving me crazy. Because I remember every other fucking thing about my life except Halloween. I know.
It's so weird.
But it was just such a... You would see people and like, hi, on the street. But like you just went and you got your candy. You got in. Hello. And it just wasn't a... I don't think it was a huge deal. The candy was...
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess for me, the allure has always been the sort of surreal nature of the night. That it's not often that people get together, human beings get together at night and spend time outside. So oftentimes people are inside, you know, they have dinners, or you go to a movie where there's a lot of people, or you go to a restaurant where there's a lot of people, or, you know, to see a concert or something. But and like to actually when you go outside... But with just, it's such an eerie kind of night. It sounds different. The time is changing. The weather is changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very autumnally radical.
Autumnally.
But I love the atmosphere, and I love the feeling of it, and I still do. I still feel that way on Halloween night with, you know, just... the imagery, the owls and the jack-o'-lanterns and the flickering candles and the skeletons, and I don't know, I feel like that was just there's a magic behind it, and I still feel that, which is why Halloween is my favorite. But in my world, every day is Halloween, so you know, what can I say?
I guess.
I said to Melanie today, I was like, I'm gonna get dressed up to go to this event. She's like, what, how are you gonna dress up? You dress up every day.
I don't see that.
I mean, she's like, you could wear a tuxedo. And I was like, well.
Oh, you got a good one.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, because you do dress vintage, you dress in 40s clothing every day, and your whole house is. But I've never, ever looked at it like you dress up. It's just you. It's what you do. You don't do it to dress up. It's the only thing you own.
Yeah. Well, when I went to Great America the other day, I wore jeans and a flight jacket.
Okay, but the jeans look like vintage 40 jeans.
I looked like I should be riding my scooter around in the 80s. I was like, this is great. Megan wore, you know, black pants and her leather jacket with the with a black Kier shirt. I was all, ugh. She's like, I can't believe I'm wearing this outfit. I'm like, you look freaking adorable. My God. You look like all the girls I was in love with in high school.
Did you wear your Johnny Cash t-shirt?
No, I had a Pendleton. So I was very, you know, very traditional American boy outfit.
So another thing we should mention, and you know, it's from the 60s, but it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
You know, it's a yearly thing. I think it still is. I think it still is, right?
It's gotta be.
The thing that I loved about that is, you know, I mean, the basis of it is that sweet little Linus believes that the Great Pumpkin is going to appear in the pumpkin patch every year, and he won't go trick-or-treating. And he stays out there by himself, and little Sally wants to stay with him, and everyone else makes fun of him. And who's the mean sister?
Lucy.
Oh, Lucy, and she's so mean. And then, but the things that I remember are the following, and please jump in. Everyone trick-or-treating, and most of them were just ghosts with a sheet over their head. And then Lucy was a witch because it was so unlike her, mm-hmm. is what her explanation was. And Lucy was the mean girl. And Linus's sister. And then Charlie Brown is a ghost like everybody else, but he says the line, "I'm not good with scissors." And he's got like 18 holes all over instead of just the two. And then they all go trick-or-treating. And the kind of the thing is, the moral of it is, sweet little Linus believes in this thing. And so what kind of has come out since is like, it's, you know, a religious allegory of waiting for this thing. But I look at it in the way that I like to like look at it. But the beautiful thing is at the, you know, nearing the end, and doesn't happen, and he's out there all alone, and he's under his blanket, and he's shivering. Poor little Linus. And Lucy, his mean sister Lucy, comes and scoops him up and takes him home and puts him in his pajamas.
Dumps him in a fire.
Yeah. I'm the Great Pumpkin.
There's your Great Pumpkin, you little shit.
And puts him to sleep. I mean, to bed.
With the sleeping potion.
And I just, but the Peanuts were so important,
yeah,
to me. And this was also the first special. All of the specials after this one was made all started with Charlie Brown and, or it's a Charlie Brown Christmas, or, you know, so everything starting with this is how that he was, instead of the Peanuts, it was all Charlie Brown because he was the star. But the Peanuts were so important, and their specials were really important.
Yeah.
And I think we talk, you know, we'll, every time we do something like this, we'll talk about one of their specials, but they're all from the 60s.
Yeah.
And then they did a couple, they did like four or five in the 70s and three in the 80s. And the big, huge thing about the one of them that they did in the 80s is Snoopy,
mm-hmm.
who always, and in The Great Pumpkin, Snoopy has a very long fantasy scene of the Red Baron, when he gets on top of his doghouse and pretends it's a fighter pilot and he's the Red Baron. And that's in several of them. But in one, I don't remember what the basis of the special was in the 80s, but Maureen Jahan, who was the body double for Jennifer Beals in Flashdance, was the body double for Snoopy. So they did like the computer recognition thing where she, oh no, they didn't, because it was hand-drawn. They had her dance and then watch the video and then just made Snoopy do what she did. And so he's like flash dancing. And he's got like a little half top on and a headband.
They had a lot of cool Peanuts stuff at Great America carved into the pumpkins. They had like a mummy Snoopy, and they had a Charlie Brown. And,
oh, neat.
Yeah, it was cool. It was neat. They had like this giant pumpkin patch that you walk through. It was all lit up.
Did you watch those specials?
Yeah, they were huge. I mean, you know, we didn't get to watch a lot of TV, but stuff like that we always got to watch. So it was like it was a big deal. Oh, you know, that's going to be on tonight. So cool. Like the Frosty, you know, stuff during Christmas,
yes,
and all that. It was a big deal because we got to sit down and watch it as a family. And it wasn't until we were a little bit older than that we got to watch TV a little bit more regularly.
And Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the stop motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuff.
Love all that stuff.
Rudolph. So we will wrap up right now because we're going to just, well, this will be a two-part thing. Yeah. And we'll continue Halloween next week with some things about songs and movies. Like, we didn't talk about any of the movies. Yeah. So we'll talk about all of that next week. And I'm actually going to see the new Halloween tomorrow. So I'm really excited that we planned on splitting this into two. So, yeah. Please follow us, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Please.
Please. It's appreciated. And
for each time you do, we will send you $1,000.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
If you don't rate, review, and subscribe, we are going to kill this dog.
Okay, we're not going to do that. I think we should just stop. This turned into a very dark Halloween episode. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and the like. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it so much. Have a great day. Stay awesome.
Stay rad. Stay autumnal.
Bye.
Bye.